Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of Campus Radio Dresden. A very special episode since I'm about to introduce you to a fellow student. Some of you might have gotten the chance to know her from her performance during the open stage program at the Dies Academicus, or maybe because they might be studying with her. In case this is not true, this is your opportunity to get to know a fellow student with a lot of interesting things to share. I was lucky enough not only to experience her wonderful performance on the open stage, but to also have some talks with her during the backstage program. And part of the vibe and the content we were speaking about will be available for you in this episode, in this special interview.
Campus Radio Dresden.
Thank you very much for finding your time and being here in the studio with me today, Pranavi.
Thank you very much for introducing me in such a sweet manner. I'm so excited to talk about a lot of different things.
And I meant every word that I said. I even think that I could have said more beautiful things about you because your performance was really amazing. But my introduction was still very brief. That's why I would like to ask you to give some information more about your background, especially concerning your field of studying, how you came to Germany, and generally speaking, your experience as an international student in TU Dresden.
You are really flattering me right now. And I'm really excited to talk about all these things because I have a lot to say.
So let's begin by tackling on the experience of moving from India to Germany to study.
I decided to come to Germany at a very young age. I was in school, I was studying 8th grade, and I already had a thought to come to Germany to pursue my master's, mainly influenced by my father because he came to TU Dresden 10 years ago to publish a paper in TU Dresden. And since then, I always wanted to come here and the place felt connected to me, the culture, everything. I always wanted to come here to experience. So after I completed my bachelor's in mechanical engineering in India, I decided that this is the time I'll come to Germany and experience a new country because I never traveled to any other country before that, even for a vacation. So coming to a new country and experiencing life as a whole, changing my whole lifestyle meant something challenging, but at the same time, I was ready for it. And coming to the same university, TU Dresden, felt like a full circle moment for me.
I imagine your dad must be really proud of you. And as a fellow international student, I can say that the decision of moving from one country to another without ever having left your home country feels like an amazing experience and challenge that makes you grow in a way that living in your home country would not give you.
Yes, because it puts you out of your comfort zone and then you have a new set of responsibilities.
Exactly, and that's very exciting. You told me that you are doing your master's in CMS. That stands for?
Computational modeling and simulation, and I'm doing it in computational engineering track.
Very interesting. And besides doing this very challenging master's degree, you are also active as a rapper and a performer in hip-hop. Can you say us how this interest in music started?
When I used to talk to my best friend, she used to tell me that, why do you talk like you rap? That kind of got stuck. And then I always wanted to do something with music because I used to listen to music a lot. And one day, I understood that that was a form of venting, and I started using that to write what I feel. In the pandemic, when I was overwhelmed by a lot of things going around, I just picked up a pen and wrote everything about what I felt, and I noticed that they started rhyming. I had a tune to it. That is how everything started. And when that happened, I started putting more effort into it and realized that I could actually rap. Before that, I used to cover rap songs that already existed by artists like Nicki Minaj or someone else.
I love Nicki.
Yeah.
I mean, I love her as an artist, I have to say that.
That's very important because we know.
Yeah, her recent stances.
Exactly so. And I realized that I have a different people I look up to in hip-hop. I love K Kendrick Lamar as an artist, and I have gone through his albums like they are some kind of notebooks you study. I love doing that, and I'm very passionate to decode albums. What is the meaning behind them? What the artist was thinking and going through when the artist was involved in making that album?
Actually, their music is like part of a journal. They are telling stories with that music.
Exactly. It's like they put their soul into it like every other artist. Rap and hip-hop started as a movement. It started as a revolution by the minorities to get their rights. There has been history associated towards gang violence gone through by these artists. Instead of indulging into the gang violence, instead of picking up a gun, they picked up a pen. So it's very, very important that we respect and acknowledge the origin of hip-hop, and at the same time understand how you can be an intersectional feminist and use hip-hop for the same thing.
Can you explain us more about how rap can be a tool for intersectional feminists? Because that was a very interesting way of looking at it.
The rap, hip-hop, and the way hip-hop is perceived by people and intersectional feminism are two very distinct things. But in my experience, I would tell that we can connect both of them. First thing is that I had to learn and educate myself about the hierarchies, systemic differences that people experience in different places, different kinds of suppression or oppression exists. For example, racism, casteism, and other things. So as someone who knows that hip-hop has come from minorities as a tool for them to start a revolution, I have understood that this has been taken by the community which used hip-hop to vent. So it also belongs to every community who has been oppressed. Understanding hierarchies, understanding intersectional feminism helps one to be a more informed rapper who uses it for the correct purpose it was intended to begin with.
Your way of looking at it is unique, but also it expands on a universal truth when it comes to art. Humans face struggles. Different kinds of groups might face different kinds of struggle and oppression, and yet their tool of venting and expressing their feelings and working on with this kind of trauma is common. It is arts, music, painting, whatever, but it is the arts. And I think it's important to value artistic pursuit as not just some luxury that the rich and the people who do not have to worry about money can do, but it is something universal for the soul of each of one and for the well-being of different communities.
Very true. And I would like to add a point on this. For example, I as a woman have undergone different kinds of sexism. Another woman would have undergone worse sexism given different kinds of situation. There would be a man who has undergone casteism or racism. But if we perform hip-hop, it connects all of us. And this is how, as humanity, we can connect to each other using art. And art has always been political.
How do you manage your time between your artistic pursuit and your academic pursuits? And is there a risk of burnout doing that?
Yes, there is definitely a risk of burnout, but until that happens, I try to keep going. I split my time, not very specific, but vaguely. For example, I spend my first half of the day doing work or part-time job or an internship. And then I spend my second half of the day studying for my university and my subjects. After that, I have weekends and I try to spend time to ideate, write new stuff, rap, and explore in my artistic field. But sometimes when I'm trying to study, I randomly get hit with some line and I feel like I could build something, and then I start rapping. I do it for some hours and then I feel like this was good. But at the same time, it feels like, oh my god, did I waste my time? Was I supposed to study? But then eventually, I manage it.
There is this famous story of Michael Jackson, who used to have, sometimes as he was sleeping in a dream, a wonderful idea of writing a song, and he would wake up, call his producer and say that he has to go to the studio to record it now, because if he doesn't catch on to this idea the moment he gets it, then Prince might get the idea and then he won't be able to produce the music he wanted to produce. So this is what I had to think about when you said it hits you and you feel like you have to react the moment it hits you.
Yeah, actually I have come across this thing and it's really interesting, because I also believe it in a similar way. I think ideas are given from universe, or a sense of
collective knowledge maybe.
Yeah, and it passes down sometimes in the form of thoughts, in the form of ideas, and then if you don't pick up on it, it goes to someone else because it's been gifted by the universe and you don't want to let it go. So I don't want to miss out on stuff, and these days, because of a lot of university stuff and my part-time job, I sometimes feel like I'm missing out on some ideas and I feel a little bit sad about it.
I can imagine. I mean, I only share that when it comes to me balancing between three different areas, working, studying, and also doing something artistic in your free time. In this part of the interview, I want to ask the question how important it is to have a good friendship or a good partnership moving between these different areas. Does it make a big difference? And what is the advice you'd give to people trying to overcome burnout or the overwhelming feeling of balancing between those three fields?
If you do not have the right partner or if you're not having supportive friends, it would add to your burnout and you don't want that.
So our advice to everyone who's listening to it and might need some guidance on how to work with the feeling of being burned out is find the right supporting system consisting of people who want what's best for you.
Yes.
I think it's impossible to discuss arts without speaking on AI and the way it is currently being used today. We all know the prominence of AI usage in today's world and the promise that was given to us. AI will do the work we do not like so that people will have all the free time to pursue what they want to do is artistic pursuit. So many people want to be free to pursue the arts. Yet we have experienced how the first field that AI has capitalized on has been arts, especially painting, graphic design, music production, content creation on social media. What is your stance on AI usage?
This is a very interesting question because as an artist and as someone in STEM, I have a more nuanced answer, I would say, because AI is very important for technological development because we have always made the technology better for ourselves. But all the difference that happens is if the advancement is going hand in hand with humanities, because art has always been human. That is what differentiates us from a machine. If AI is doing things related to art, for example, making posters for events, I think it's very, very low effort and one can recognize that it is made by AI. I, as an artist, would say AI doesn't have place in arts, but AI can also be seen as a tool, as a calculator, because it has no feelings and you have to treat it that way only. Also, most people are not aware, AI works based on probability. It just searches and matches words that are most probably matched to what you are asking. So it doesn't know the meaning of it. How can you let that into an artistic space which is for humans?
It is kind of comical thinking about how you use a calculator to produce music or to produce a picture.
Exactly.
Whereas you'd actually use a calculator better for doing something that a calculator is supposed to do.
Very true. We have to really understand how to use AI. For example, we should have classes on how to use it and how to not let it do most of the work because it is lousy and low effort and you always can tell.
A big problem of AI usage is that it takes away the ability to think independently for oneself. Can you maybe show a little how you incorporate AI into your academic life or into your work? What kind of tasks you'd let AI do for you and what kind of tasks you'd refuse AI doing for you?
Again, AI can be a great tool if it is used correctly. If I want to use AI in my academical work, I would just use it to get the output about the things I already know about. I will be very clear about my ideas and my vision towards how the project or things are moving. For example, if I want to know about something, I would always check the sources that AI is using to give me the output and go inside the sources and check for the credibility. And I would give the sources to it. For example, if I want to understand about certain thing, I would actually go into an article and just give AI that particular article to summarize because I think that is something involving your flow state, your path in which you are going to pursue, other than AI suggesting you everything.
It's true. So all that in a nutshell, we could say use AI as your personal assistant, but do not use it as your friend, as your therapist, as your artist, and as a creator.
Yes, because there was a point in my life 2 years ago when I used to have a lot of burnout and stress. When I used to feel that way, I used to use AI for output or to feel something. I realized it's a very toxic loop, and when you do it, it makes you go into a situation where at a point you'll just realize that it is just a machine and telling the same thing again and again. You would feel helpless. You would also feel you're alone. That's a scary thing.
It tries to trap you within a bubble of your own thoughts, of your own feelings, and to isolate you from other people.
Totally. So it's very, very important to maintain human connections when AI could put you into a situation like that. Always have boundaries with technology and understand how to use it.
Exactly. And I want to mention, although that's a discussion for a whole other episode, to be very careful about using AI, since considering what kind of people are in charge of this tech world, you do not want them to have this information and power over you. But as I said, discussing the political implications of AI is a whole other topic which needs its own podcast episode.
Yeah. One last thing that I would like to add when we are discussing about AI is that the environmental impact it has. We are actually improving technology. We should also focus on how to protect our environment while improving the technology. So I think our focus should also be there.
Technology is supposed to make our lives better, and not we sacrificing our lives to make technology better. And what we're experiencing right now in the world is an attempt to destroy what humans have in order to improve a technology where we are not even sure how much of an improvement it will do to our lives. And the most effective way of ensuring that AI improvement is being done in an ethical way is through government regulation.
And also, it's super important to educate people on how to use it. At the same time, please do not let AI into art spaces, because it's not artistic when AI is there in it.
I will be finally happy when there is a AI ban on artistic spaces.
It's really important.
Because currently that is just too much. AI slops, AI posters, AI drawings, that's just too much.
Or at least we should give more support to the artists.
That is not a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
So it is better to use your time and money into supporting new artists, since even inexperienced and bad artists have new and novel input to share with you, whereas AI is only producing something without any novelty in it. And going back to the beginning of the interview, for those of you who missed the Dies Academicus performance of Pranavi, here's your chance to listen to her now.
Like a lightning strike, so believe me once it happens, you've been surprised. Got a strong instinct like never before. Got a feeling deep inside my heart's core, yeah. This feeling made me crazy and got me question daily. Is it a new fantasy? Being a visionary? Women in this industry, a rare sight to see. If I be thyself, then fight with the society. Now break your chains and set yourself free, and fight for my people in my community. Provide them security, inspire young girls, lay out opportunities. Young girls lay out opportunities. Yeah, that's my purpose. That's my purpose. That's my purpose. Born with a purpose, I have big dreams. The tides in me, never forget what it means. And the bliss and glory of having big dreams. And the bliss and glory of having big dreams. Big dreams, having big dreams. And the bliss and glory of having big dreams. Still a lot more time needed, overnight fame's overrated. Groundwork is disguised and struggle is unrecognized. Still in early stages, but we're really getting there. Tiring but exciting, my passion I declare. Wait for me to come up in Gen Z's flare. And a lot of things going on just for me to care. There was a time when I was just drowning in despair, and I got through all of it cause YOLO I swear. Born with the purpose, I have big dreams. The tiles in me, never forget what it means. And the bliss and glory of having big dreams. And the bliss and glory of having big dreams. Big dreams, having big dreams. And the bliss and glory of having big dreams.
And if you like this performance, I would strongly advise you to get the chance to come to next year's open stage during the DS Academicals. Her live performance is infectious, the confidence she radiates is amazing, and you will have the chance not only to experience wonderful music, but to also support young artists who are more than ever in need of support by you.